Blog Talk Radio. This podcast is brought to you by the Phantom Gallery Chicago Network, an artist-run project that exhibits in non-traditional gallery settings. The Phantom Gallery looks at how the city influences art and how artists transform the city by contributing to civic dialogue and quality of life. These installations produce creative conversations. I'm your host, Alpha Bhutan. Thank you for listening. Good morning, and thank you for joining us. Today I have a creative conversation. We're going to have a talk with Wisdom Beatty and LaVon Pettis, part two. Hi.
Hey, great rising.
Hi, morning, LaVon.
Hey.
Hi.
Good morning.
Thank you both for joining me and having another creative conversation. And so because our half an hour goes so fast, I want to kind of jump right in and ask Wisdom. We're going to have our conversation with Wisdom Beatty this morning. So Wisdom, can you give us a little bit about yourself and talk about your trajectory as an artist and curator?
I am an artist, sort of self-taught, but I also went to undergrad for painting and drawing at UIC. I'm a mother, I am a scholar, and I am an advocate, arts advocate. I kind of dibbled and dabbled in so many places, and that's how I know LaVon. But one of the reasons why I know LaVon is because of my connection with Marwin, an arts organization on the north side that gives free, like, really competent and, like, well-thought classes. They're also well-funded to CPS kids. So since I was, like, in sixth grade, I've been taking art classes, and my aunt really, like, nurtured that within me. I ended up experiencing, like, my first out of Chicago residency at Yale Norfolk when I was an undergrad, I think my junior year, and I just, like, really loved it. I didn't really make any critical work that, like, I didn't have a voice for my work, so I was just there, but, like, really enjoyed the experience of, like, communing. And I think that, like, later on allowed me to think about, you know, participating in the Artists in Residency program. I did a couple at Marwin. They do some for high schoolers, which I think is really brilliant and important. And then I ended up being a teaching artist residence at Marwin when they have the off season. So they're like, oh, what should we do with the space? We can invite artists, teachers who are alumni who have, you know, some type of partnership with the space to come in and, like, make work. And so I did that 1 year, and that really kind of helped me formulate an artist series that I began doing, which was called Ways We Make. And it was just kind of a conversation and a communing of Black and brown mothers to think and consider creating underneath all the pressures of what it means to be a parent in the city. And this workshop series led to me creating a manifesto, which called Mother Artist Colored, I believe. and so that was kind of like my stance on, like, what the artist residency was, like, missing within culture. And at the time, I was also in grad school. So I went to grad school at the Art Institute for Arts Administration and Policy. And I also struggled there as a parent and as a Black woman, and it wasn't very easy, but I was able to have these conversations and build, like, relationships. And after graduating, I really kind of just – I got this Propeller grant to put on kind of a sample, a pilot residency program, and the residency is called Wild Yams Black Artist Mothers Residency, and it's specific to Black women, Black mothers and nurturers, and it's specific to Southside artists, or women who identify as creative. Levon Pettis is a YAM 2021 member.
All right. And so I'm going to ask the next question for Levon, you know, to respond, because, you know, you gave her this intro and how you all came, like, intersected, and how at that point you all met each other and your within your commonalities as being mothers and caregivers of your children in Marwin and at the current space that you're in. LaVon?
Well, as I mentioned in our first conversation, you know, I saw a poem and some work of wisdom, and so I definitely thought it was my daughter, but I see us in artwork all the time, right? You know? And so her artwork, Wisdom's work, left such an impression on me, the poem and the piece, that I just needed to find out who she was. And so one day when Indigo, my daughter, was taking a class, Wisdom just so happened to be there, and I was able to interface with her. She invited me to the Ways We Make dinner. I believe she did a on-the-table dinner. And it was just so therapeutic to have this dialogue with all of these Black women who were creators, mothers, who were, you know, making work, and for her to bring us all together and then create a space where we could break bread, but we could also, you know, talk about what some of the challenges that we face being parents, as well as being, you know, trying to make artwork and things like that. And then we also had from there, we just kept talking. And it was like, okay, we want to link up, we want to link up. And then I saw some information about the Wild Yams opportunity, or Wisdom might have reached out to me, but she definitely was like, hey, I have a residency and you should apply.
And so here we are. I visited the your space on last Friday. And I kind of described my journey there, you know, to come to the space. And then when I arrived, you know, and was greeted by the owner, and could you guys talk now about the space that I'm referring to?
Yeah, so YAM's made its journey from a co-working space. I operate a co-working space. And we had to basically transition the residency to another space. And so I actually went to a kind of closing event for Sadie Woods. She was an artist in residency at this organization, well, this location. It's called the Creative Room, and it's located on 7034 South Martin Luther King Drive. And the owner, when I made my way up there, was very unassuming, and I was like, oh, this is like a house space. So the owner, Clementine Love, she essentially is an architect and an interior designer. She gutted the space and turned it into artist studios. Basically where you can create your own landscape or, like, your own creative practice. And so there's four studios upstairs. There's, like, an in-house, like, living artist in residence. She's a collector. Her work is beautiful. She lives on the first floor. The second floor, Wild Yams operates out of, and then we also have use of the basement, which is more like the research kind of design. She keeps, like, all of her, like, years of, like, research, and she used to work at the Art Institute and, like, kind of slides and, you know, all this, like, stuff reminiscent of, like, art school. So it's been really beautiful. She also has an outdoor space. It's a yard. We just had an event, a movement, flow, choreography kind of affirmation event on Saturday. Really beautiful in the yard, and she just, Clementine is a contender. Everyone should know her.
Great. And I was, you know, really had some time to talk with her And as I was inhaling this space and asking you to, okay, you know, calm down, slow it down so that I could breathe the space and experience it from coming in and before entering. And so it, because it's once you get there, like I said, on my journey there, is that everything to me is always so unexpected, you know, behind the door or behind the fence. And the way the residency just pops up, you know, in the South Side, you know, and then what I experienced while I was there, and it's a peace and calmness also to the residency, you know, in the house when you go in. And then I saw that there is a coach house that is under development back there and has future plans that I guess you all will, you know, spend time, you know, exploring and developing there. But for the most part, I really...
And LaVon kind of said, you know, something about Margo Burroughs, like she's infamous for, like, allowing people to stay in her coach house. And I'm very much thinking in the vein of Margo Burroughs, and I'm sure Clementine is as well. And, you know, just kind of like that kind of inspiration of, like, the possibilities with funding, of course, would be, you know, infinite.
Exactly. And I think that kind of sometimes is our bottom line in development and how we work to recognize that arts and culture is a sector and in our practices exist, you know, and they should be funded, you know. And so I always do a call to action, you know, with that conversation and talk about how important, you know, every community has arts and culture and how again, coming into the neighborhood, and so unexpected that these collectives are happening within our communities, you know, and not in the main grid of, you know, what that looks like, you know. Mm-hmm. Especially all of us being from different eras of the School of the Art Institute, you know. And so it was interesting to be there at that intersection of being and talking with Clementine, and then talking with you, and then our time when we were at the School of the Art Institute. And it's interesting what we're doing with our curatorial practice now, you know, and doing this whole community engagement piece. So
in. And that we went to the school at different times, but for the same, essentially for the same degree, which you went for arts and policy, right?
You went for art and policy. I went in when it was just the art administration. And not just, we still explored what that means. It was people from the field were coming back in, and because from the, when I say from the field, a lot of times we get these directorship and happenstance because, you know, it was given to you and you had that capacity of leadership, but you didn't really have this art administration background. You know, you just were put into directorship positions. And so a lot of administrators from the field were going back working on their master's degree at the School of the Art Institute. So 8 years in, I was there, you know, when it was kind of being filtered out and it had already been saturated with, you know, with people from the field and now the younger people that hadn't had experience in the field were coming into the art administration program.
Mm-hmm.
And so by the time you came, Wisdom, it changed to policy because, again, they saturated the field with people that had, you know, already had experience in the field, if that makes sense. You know, that was happening. And, you know, in our time there at the School of the Art Institute had its learning curves. And I think that, you know, I would like for you to talk about that because you were more engaged in the painting aspect and being in the studio while you were there.
Well, no, not while I was at the Art Institute. I was I went to undergrad for my painting degree. And I mean, one of my critiques with the Art Institute, if that's what we're talking about, is for the arts administration and policy sector, there is not enough time allotted for our degree program to interchange because the school defines itself as kind of like an interdisciplinary space. But there's not too much, well, at least in 2018 when I graduated, I was there from 2016 to 2019, essentially. I took a year off because, you know. But there wasn't enough interaction, proper interaction, I would say, like ingrained within the curriculum that, you know, where we were forced to, or we like, we should have been assigned to, like, really pick at, like, the people who are making things, you know, and making things around across cultures and around the city, not just, like, on site at the Art Institute. So that was one of my critiques. I feel like that critique is real. However, the Art Administration and Policy curriculum allowed us to go outside, and I do want to champion Kate Dumpleton, who is the director of High Park Jazz Festival, who kind of developed a curriculum that would allow for students, or like made students, like go into organizations outside of downtown and really kind of like work around and get that, I don't want to say in the field experience, but like, you know, that that critical experience that you need to like a practicum, right? And you go and you learn about a thing, and then you practice it outside. And you have like these mentorship relationships, and that's a kind of a way that I was began to build who I knew and around the art world.
Exactly, because that's why you're there. That's why you pay to be in that elite, you know, space. You know, it's Ivy League, you know, come on, that's what we pay to be there, and to be connected there. So as Clementine was saying to me, we always have to use that resource, you know, because, you know, it's not inexpensive. It's a big investment into what we do, and the commitment that mm-hmm. what we were doing in terms of working within community and developing community, and making it a vital part of the arts and cultures in our neighborhoods. You know, I'm also looking here at some of your panel, you know, presentations. You did you co-organized the 6018 North Windows to the World Exhibition in 2020, the inaugural Black Experience, and you were also part of the panel, an MFA showcase at the Art Institute. But I'd like to kind of talk about the World Exhibition, the 6018 North when the question was
at 1618.
Yes.
So what did that come about? Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
Okay. Kind of went out there.
We have this volume of information in our heads, and I know that you were trying to retrieve, like, wait a minute, I need to retrieve that whole episode because you're so focused on moving forward with our lives. It's kind of hard to rewind, you know, to go back to those smaller, you know, introductions of space. So I understand, like, what are you asking me? Because you asked me about a show, I have to retrieve it, you know, so. Anyone listening? That's
right.
What
okay, it's so much. It's so much there. It's so much there. So I worked with a group of curators, and we were doing this idea called the Justice Hotel, it was kind of like this development of like how do we consider justice, how do we you know, creatively think about, you know, if we could have a hotel that was about justice, you know, what would it look like? And it was in partnership with Amanda Williams, but it became less in partnership with Amanda Williams as we went to Expo Chicago, and it kind of transformed itself to a group of curators curating this house. 6018 is a gallery on North Side Chicago. It's operated by Trisha Van Eyck. And she is pretty damn awesome. So anyways, we did that. And so we were kind of doing these, like, really extensive curated events, like 52 dinners at the space. This was pre-COVID. And so that considered, like, all these themes of justice, like economic justice, social justice, education justice, like women's rights, you know, black women specific. So we did, like, a bunch of, you know, check out the website. So after COVID happened, like, we were still kind of working with each other, and we were thinking or, like, kind of trying to curate a way that we can continue to work with each other on different projects under the umbrella of the Justice Hotel. And we still are doing that. So essentially that turned into this idea of windows to the world, like, what could the potential be, you know, when we think about justice after, like, we get out of this mess of COVID, the mess of, like, institutional racism. And we're still here, and it will still, like, you know, be remnants of that. But, like, we were kind of picking and looking at artists who were interested in, like, asking that question of the world and of themselves. And so we had a variety of artists come and activate the space outside, though. And so we activated the windows, the exterior parts of the 6018 North Gallery.
Well, congratulations on that show, because, you know, you can talk about the expansion of it. And it's so, you know, the opportunity to do that during this time of, you know, COVID. So mm-hmm. Now we're here. Now we're talking about Wild Yam, and we're talking about the programming that you all are doing this month, you know, of September. Mm-hmm. And what's coming up on your calendar?
Well, we just had a movement workshop with Lakeisha Jackson. That was September 4th. And then we're going to have a series of, we have two workshops this week. We have a book talk with a sister by the name of Inger Burnett Ziegler. And she wrote the book, Nobody Knows the Trouble I've Seen, The Emotional Lives of Black Women. That book talk is going to happen with at the Clio Arts Residencies. That's on Thursday, September 9th. It's from 6 to 7:30. And then we're doing I also partner with this organization called We Will Chicago, which I will not go into that. And then on Saturday, September 11th, we have at 11 a.m. an art space and placemaking discussion with Kiela Smith-Umpton, who is a part of the
Chicago. You're one of the presenters, aren't you? One of the community presenters for We Will Chicago.
Yeah.
So,
so
you
some
know,
of these are in partnership with We Will, and some of them are not.
Okay, great. So, LaVon had a question that she wanted to ask. LaVon.
Wisdom. So I was reflecting and thinking about how we're all influenced by someone. And so I had found out that you took a painting class with Kerry James Marshall. And I know that Kerry James studied with Charles White. So I just wanted to ask, what kind of influence did Kerry James's teaching have on you?
So that's a really great question, because he's had an influence of being consistent and being disciplined. And I don't want to take away from who I am as a person, but sometimes I am not as disciplined. His work ethic is such that, you know, he's just that top tier, right? Like, so he goes into the gallery every day and he works every day. And he's a very, like, down-to-earth individual, which him and Cheryl Lynn Bruce, his partner, are very just, like, you know, in the scene, don't think they're above the scene, but no, you know what I'm saying? They just know, like, you know, they're able to be, like, X, Y, and Z equals A, B, and C, right? Like, they have the layout of the land. So I've learned to be methodical, because he's also critiqued grad school in really, really critical, interesting ways that I also agree with. But being, like, very strategic and being trying to be more disciplined and doing the thing that I anticipate doing, like do it every day, be strategic about it, bring self-awareness to yourself, but also be well-researched. And so that was where some of the things that, like, have literally came out of his soul to, like, you know, his mouth to, like, tell me. But then, like, there's other things by osmosis where I'm just like, wow, like, he's just so well-researched. Like, he can pick apart, you know, his historical narrative is just so grand. LaVon, and I think that's why I'm, like, really attracted to your expertise, because I consider you a walking encyclopedia. Like, you're always, like, connecting these conversations. And so I just like to be around people who are, like, super smart.
And so you are super smart. So we have just a few more minutes, and I want to talk to you both about, because the gist of your residencies is about Black mothers and how your children and your girls fit into this dialogue and here at the space with Wild Yam. Hello?
Yes, I just believe that when you uplift Black women and Black mothers, it will just matriculate to the rest of society. So if we feel supported and healthy and our creative beings are being met, then, you know, we will have stronger and better communities. And so that's really kind of why I do the work that I do. And I love the fact that my daughter gets to see, you know, that, you know, you create a path for yourself.
LaVon?
I feel like I've been in a spiritual warfare during my practice of making art. As you both know, I've been more behind the scenes and pushing others so long that it was difficult to push myself amongst dealing with the pandemic and all of that. I realized, like, I promote others more so than I do myself, you know? And so I think for my daughter, it's her seeing me become and seeing all of these various threads like Wisdom, like Alpha. I've worked or consulted in a lot of different arenas. And so now me pulling all that nexus together and showing how art, politics, my degree is in psychology and community counseling, how all of that connects. And it really has helped sharpen me, and it's so therapeutic. I didn't realize. I just contacted Marcia Jones, this amazing artist who I adore, and I was like, Marcia, I didn't know how therapeutic this is. And she's like, yeah, I've been trying to tell you for years, LaVon. And I'm like, yo, I should have done this a long time ago.
You know, we all talk about our cross-sector collaborations, and I think that that's, you know, probably something in another future conversation, because we only have just a few, like a couple of more minutes on our call today. But just, you know, thinking about that, you know, I'm really, if anyone had a couple more words to say within this 90 seconds that we have left. It was really good meeting both of you. I really enjoyed the space. You know, I'm on the road, and when I come back to, you know, to Chicago in the spring, then I'll see you guys all then. Until then, we're looking at having Wild Yam and a couple of the artists that are doing illustrative work to present in October for our virtual trolley tour at the Bronzeville Art District and Open Studios that the Phantom Gallery hosts during the art crawl. A virtual space, and you can find more out about that at bronzevilleartdistrict.com.
I want to thank both of you ladies and give you all your roses now for all of the work that you have done, for being boots to the ground and really getting out here, because oftentimes artists go into these areas and they really start something. So thank you, Wisdom. Thank you, Alpha, for the opportunities you all have given me in my career development.
Chicago Network. artist-run project.
I just want to thank both of y'all as well. Studies. Thank you so much.
The Phantom Gallery looks at how the city influences art and how artists transform the city by contributing to civic dialogue and quality of life. These installations produce creative conversations. I'm your host, Alpha Bhutan. Thank you for listening.